Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. I'd like to thank God for the opportunity to allow me to come for his people as we expound on the word of God together. I would like to thank each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule to come and join us in this Bible study. I am so elated and I don't take it for granted. I pray that God can use me, that God can use me to give the word in plain and simple way of learning. I thank each and every one of you. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to be in the third chapter. The title of our lesson is, God told us there will be days like this. And I believe everybody can contest that these are trying times. But it should be no secret, because God, through his word, told us that there would be days like this. At this time, I'm going to put a song on, and then we're going to explore, we're going to go to God's throne of grace and prayer, and then we're going to explore the word of God together.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. I got a call that you guys couldn't hear me. Can you guys hear me now? Thank you. Hallelujah, baby. I was going to town. Thank you, Sister Joyce Brown, for letting me know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'll start all over. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God, bringing the Word of God, plain and simple. It's an honor and a privilege, and I thank each and every one of you who have taken time from your busy schedule to call back week after week. God is pleased, and it is my desire that we all are growing in grace together and receiving more and more knowledge of God each week. So at this time, I want you to know that the title of this lesson is God Told Us That There Will Be Days Like This. Come on now, y'all. God, all through his word, explained how it was going to be and how it's going to, the world was going to be evolving and how man was going to act and all of the things that would happen. So God explained to us in his word of God, because he said he wouldn't keep anything from us. So tonight I want you to remind you that God told us that there will be days like this. Our lesson is coming from the book of Timothy. I pray that everybody had a chance to read the third chapter. I pray that everyone have them their Bibles by me, because, you know, I don't want you to just take everything that I say and use it. See it in the Word of God so you can see God speaking to you. So at this time, I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace in prayer, and then we're going to explore the Word of God together. Satan tried to have us blocked out, but God made a way out of no way. Thank you, Jesus.
Imagine how it could be if I let you.
And I thought that song was so appropriate because I know that we are living in the last days. And at this time, I'm going to say if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and you could lead us into the throne of grace. Sister Pam, you had pressed the one button. So if you was trying to prompt the studio again to pray, I wouldn't be able to know. So that's why I opened the mic to speak to you to see if you did. If you didn't, it's okay. And I want to let everybody know, when you call in to Words of Wisdom, you do not have to have your phone on mute. I cannot hear anything that's going on in your house unless the mic is open. So you don't have to have your phone on mute in case, you know, you think it's like some of the other things is ran. I cannot hear you. I can't hear anything in your house unless you press the one button and I open the mic, and then we all can hear you. So with that being said, dear Heavenly Father, precious God, God, you to give up every perfect gift. You are our Lord, our Savior, our Master. You are our protector, our healer, hallelujah, our deliverer. Dear God, you are the great I am. You the beginning of all beginning and the end of everything. You are in total control. Hallelujah. You're sitting on your throne. You sit high and you look low. And God, I thank you that your son is at your right hand interceding in our behalf. And God, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you allowed us to have and dwelled in us, that we could become ambassadors for you. Ambassadors, because we are to do the things that Jesus Christ would do if he was still here. Lord, and I thank you. I thank you, dear God, that we're able to come to you as we study your word, dear God, because we have a desire to want to know more so that we can do more and be more and get corrections, dear God, that we can change things in our lives that need to be changed, that we could see the goodness and the blessings and things that we are doing in our lives that is right to do them evermore. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that called in on the line today, dear God. And Lord, I ask you for special blessing and favor in all of their lives. I ask you to bless their homes, dear God, bless their family, their children, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, if there are any, dear God. Bless their finances, bless their health, dear God. Bless their mind. Because you say you're a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Lord, I pray that you cancel all depression. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless your children. God, you told us we're your children, and when we accepted your son, we became heirs and joint heirs. And we are entitled to all of the blessings, even in heavenly places. And for that, we say thank you. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you have your way with this Bible study on tonight. Spirit, I pray that the word that goes forth accomplish what it set out to do. And I pray that you open the hearts and the minds and the eyes of the people where they can truly see what thus said the Lord. And your word won't return void.
Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, and that you get the glory, honor, and praise. Because we realize, dear God, that's why we was created, to give you praise, honor, and glory. And you deserve it. Hallelujah. And Lord, right now, I just want to say thank you. Lord, I realize that I'm only here and my assignment is to give information. But it's the Holy Spirit that's going to supply the illumination and the revelation of your word to your people. So, God, I say thank you. I praise your holy name. I lift up the name of Jesus. I come to you, dear God, but I'm coming through the Son. So I say in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And at this time, I'm going to say the word again because we have callers that may have came in after we said the title of the lesson in the scripture. But the title of the lesson is, God told us that there will be days like this. When I say that, it is so true. I'm coming from 2 Timothy 3rd chapter. The Bible lets us know that Jesus is coming back. And the closer it gets to the time with Jesus coming back, the adversary, the devil, is going to be seeking who he may devour. You know, even though we know how the story ends, and we have victory in because of Jesus' death and blood and resurrection, we have the victory. But Satan is not ready to give in. He's not ready to throw in the towel, so he's pumping up the volume. And the Bible teaches us that in the last days, everything going to be like fair game. It's going to be like the wild, wild west here on earth. So tonight, I'm going to talk about in the background, introductory, I'm going to give some information about the last days. You see, the Bible prophesies of many that will occur in the end time. End time, last days, it's the same thing. Sometimes they say end time, sometimes they say last day. You see, these events can be characterized in groups. Now, in the last days, you know, the prophecy of these groups is going to be coming to pass. They're going to be natural signs. They're going to be spiritual signs. They're going to be sociological signs, technical signs, and political signs. You see, and what we're going to do is we can look at what the Bible says about these things, and if the signs of presence in abundance, you will be the answer for that. We can be certain that we are, in fact, living in the end time. You know, so many people believe the end time. Some people believe the end time began when Adam sinned. There are other theologians that believe the end time began when Jesus was born. Some say when he was baptized. Others say the end time happened when he resurrected. Some believe that the end time began at the age of the church was formulated on the day of Pentecost. But that's all of the theologian theories. But tonight, you could come up with something for yourself. You see, if we look at the natural signs, we have to go to the book of Luke, the 21st chapter and 11th verse. You see, Luke said there will be great earthquakes. Y'all could do a little checkpoint or write them down to see the things that the Bible tells us going to happen in the last day. And then you can make a judgment. There will be great earthquakes, famine, pestilence, and fearful events. And there will even be great signs from heaven described in the book of Revelation, 6th chapter, verses 12 and 14. Do your homework. Natural signs. Then there are going to be some spiritual signs. If we look at 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4, 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4, look what it says. In the last days, many people will follow false teachers. There are going to be many people who come and saying that they are Christ. And what will happen? Many will be led astray. Do you think that's happening today? And then if we look at the technological signs, things that happen that's technical, you see, Revelation 13 says there will be nuclear wars. And it is said that the Antichrist will be in control of commerce by forcing people to take the mark of the beast. Hallelujah. And what we see with the computers these days and the chip technology, you know, they put the chips in dogs and they say eventually we're going to have chips in us, and you're going to have a chip because there will be no more money. Come on, y'all. Technology, you see, and you see, this is a tool Satan, I believe, is using right now. And I think that is already progressing. Hallelujah. If y'all remember when the computers came out, they said it was the work of the devil, and many Christians were talking about it, talking against it. But the devil could have set it up for his bad, but I'm a living witness that God has turned it around for the good. Because with the technical thing, people are receiving the word of God from all around the world. People are using the computer and finding the word from God. People are using a computer that can't have a Bible and can read the word of God. So the devil may have set it up, and he's going to use it for his purpose. But when it's all said and done, God did turn it around for our good. Hallelujah. And there's also going to be political signs. You see, if we look at Matthew 24, 6 and 7, Matthew 24, chapter, verses 6, it predicts that nation will rise against nation. That's happening, y'all. And kingdom against kingdom. Look at the wars, y'all. They're going to be wars and rumors of wars. And I could tell you it's definitely characteristics of this present age. And many believe that the restoration of Israel to her homeland in 1948, y'all remember when Israel was given back their homeland. Y'all got to realize Jerusalem, Israel, is the promised land. It's God's promised land. It's his holy land. And it was able to return in 1948. That's not that long ago, 1948. But it is one of the single most impressive fulfilled prophecy proving that we are in the last time. Now, I gave you those things. You can be the judge if you could see it apparent. And today with us, and you could judge it for yourself. You see, so with all that being said, we don't know for certain when the last day began. There's no in the Bible that tells us, and I searched all over. But I truly feel like we are living in the last days, and that's my opinion. At the end of the class, I could get your vote and your comment. What we do know for certain is that no one knows the end, not even Jesus. Because in Matthew 24:36, Jesus said, "But of that day and hour, no man." The disciples always asked Jesus, "When is it?" Jesus said, "I don't know. It's nobody knows." He said, "Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." I can't be certain when the end time begins, and I can't tell you when it'll end, but I can tell you that God told us that there would be days like this because it's his desire that everybody be saved. It's a desire for us to get right, church, so we can go home. It is his desire that we be able to watch out, look out, be conscious, be sober, because the adversary, the devil, is seeking who he may devour. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. Timothy was a new, young pastor of the church of Ephesus. And Paul wanted him to understand nature. See, that's what a good leader do. A good leader may give you a position and say, "Let me tell you, it's not going to be easy. And I'm going to tell you all these people you have to deal with." He said, "I'm going to tell you some of the characteristics and how they think about what you're trying to get them to believe. I'm telling you how they feel about the God we serve." He said, "Don't be fooled." He said, "So I'm trying to help you to understand human nature." When we talked about these signs that was natural, spiritual, technological, technological, and political signs, but our lesson tonight is going to tell us about human nature. Tonight we will see the condition of man. That's all that. Now let's say the people, us, living in the last days. Let's see what we're going to be like. From all indications, it appears that things that are going on now is a human problem. And I come to tell you tonight, it stems from the heart. So we're going to go in our lesson. We saw what's going to happen, the earthquakes, the wars, the rumors, false teachers. Let's see what the people. Now, we could see if some of these things that I talked about a little earlier, if they're happening today. Now we could judge if the things I'm speaking of, fixing to speak about, is happening today by people. And maybe we could identify ourselves in some of them. So God told us it would be days like this. And we just want to be not caught in the dark. And we want to see if we have some of the characteristics of some of these bad characters and how far it's going in the last days so we could check ourselves. So if we look at 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter in verse 1, look what Paul tells Timothy. He said, "Look, know this also." I'm reading the Bible, y'all. "That in the last days, perilous times shall come." Number two, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." They would be covetous. They're going to be boasters, very proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents. They're going to be unthankful and unholy. And that's what Paul told Timothy about the condition of mankind in the last days. You see, when we look at this, perilous times has the ideal of trouble, difficult, and stressful situations. Is that happening right now? You see, this sort of atmosphere will mark the last days, because men will be lovers of themselves. But the Bible teaches us in Romans 12:3, do not think more of yourself than you ought to. When you start doing that, you got a problem. Y'all know any people like that? You can't tell them nothing. They know it all. You see, the moment that a man makes his own will, you know, we say, Lord, not our will, but thy will. But when a man makes his own will the center of life, I could tell you that anything divine and human relationships, divine or human relationships, are destroyed. You see, because when they do that, there's no obedience to God. And there's no charity or love for mankind. Because it becomes impossible. Because they stuck on themselves. You see, lovers of self leads really the list of characteristics that's not pleasing to God in the last days, since it is the essence of all sin and the root from which the other characteristics spring. It starts with the heart. Tell you tonight. It starts with the heart, because so is a man thinking, so is he. Now, I want to tell you, in this last days, yeah, they're going to have the wars and devastation and, you know, all of these things. But there's also a problem with mankind, the adversities, the effects of these perilous times. Many of them is because of mankind. You see, these people who think like this are only out for themselves. They're only out for themselves, selfish and prideful all the time. They do anything that seems right in their own eyes. You can't tell them nothing. You see, covetousness is at an all-time high, having a great desire to possess something belonging to someone else. And you see, the heart of the man, because of these characteristics, it brings in stealing, robbing, all types of crime, because it's the heart. They want what belongs to someone else. It's the spirit of covetousness. If that wasn't in the heart of man, there would be no stealing, because they wouldn't touch what belonged to someone else. They wouldn't always look at and want everything somebody else has, and when they can't get it on their own, they take yours. And then you see all of the killing on the street. Because they'll even kill others for their possessions. Because you see, when they selfish and they want it, and that spirit of covetousness is just ruling in their lives and in their hearts, they are determined to get what they want by any means necessary. You see, boasting and pride and blaspheming. And you see, to blaspheme, that's a person who mocks God or religion, a claim to be God. You know, and I could see in this paper here, and I want to really be fair, so many characteristics I see, I could put names on them. I mean, names of people in high positions. And I can say, that's them, that's them. But I have to say this because it's real. And what made me stop and say that was because one time the president of the United States came on the TV and he said that he would have done more for people than God, number one. One time he even said that he was God. That's blaspheme. But the Bible told us that there will be days like this. So yes, it's shocking, but it should be believable, because if you know the word of God, the Bible says, God says there will be days like this. And you see, these people say all the time, and if they don't say it with their mouth, they say it with their actions. You don't matter. And then they have the audacity to even say, and God does not matter either. All that matters is me, my family, myself, my friends, and I. No one else or nothing else matters. All that matters is me, myself, and I. You see, that in the last days, disobedience to parents is going to happen and be at an all-time high. And we can see it all around us. Because children, some children, will not respect, obey, or love the parents. And it's so easily, they so easily separate the relationship with the parents. Don't want to have anything to do with them. The nursing homes are full, and I'm not saying that, you know, everybody, you know, is wrong for putting people in a nursing home, because plenty of times someone cannot take care of the loved one. And that's why, you know, nursing homes, you know, began. You know, some of the medical conditions or some of the other things with that, you know, you have to do what you have to do. But, you know, I'm just saying disobedience to parents is going to be high on the list. You could see some people, you know how they talk to their parents. And then there's unthankfulness. You see, no matter what you do for some people, it is never enough. Do you know anybody like that? It's never enough. You do one thing, they want something else. You do one thing, they want something else. Whatever you do is not enough. And, you know, when this happened to you, don't be alone. Because after all that God has done, he's doing right now, and he promised to do for some of us. God has made a way for us out of no way. God has allowed his son to pay the debt penalty that we owe. God gives us mercy, which holds back the punishment we do deserve. God flowers us with grace that give us everything we don't deserve. Mercy holding what you do deserve, and grace giving you what you don't deserve. That's what makes you complete, the grace and the mercy of God. Don't ever get it twisted. Those people who think that I'm a self-made man or a self-made woman, I did this on my own. Well, I ain't never saw nobody create themselves. I ain't never saw nobody take and draw a baby and come alive. No one made they self. God is the creator of all things. And when you believe you've done it on your own, then you believe you have the right to do it any kind of way you want. And it's so dangerous, because some people don't even realize that that's where they are. And they boast. See, and I talk about the boasters. They boast because they so proud to say how I did it on my own. Nobody helped me. When you say nobody and you did it all on your own, where is God in that picture? You see, after all that God has done for us, is doing and promised to do, look how he's being treated. Jesus came to die for your sins. Look how they treated him. So I'm telling you, too, if some of these things is in your life, some of these things is being said, you under subjection of, sometimes you have to say, first of all, God says there will be days like this. And second of all, look how they treat Jesus. Look how they treated Jesus and even treating him now. And look how they've been treating God from the beginning of time. So certain things is going to happen. But you still got to press your way through. And one of the worst sins in the last day is the sin of ingratitude. And unholiness. See, many people feel like they're living their best life. And the way for them to do it is have it their own way. Feeling like God doesn't exist or don't matter. But the most amazing thing to me is soon as something happens in their life or something going wrong, they want to cry out to God. Lord, y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody you never heard say God or Jesus in their life. Let something happen. Jesus, help me, Lord. Come on, y'all. Soon as something go wrong in their lives, they call on the name of Jesus and want their emergency to become his urgency. They want to call his name three times and they expect him to just. God is not a trick. But that's what's happening. That's why I tell you on the humanistic side of the last days, this is how men's hearts is waxing cold, how everybody is selfish, how everybody want what they want, how even the leaders, they lie, they cheat, because that's going to be in the next thing. You see, they say, verse 3, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, despisers of that are good, traitors, hating, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Do you know anybody like that? You see, it say without natural affection. And I'm going to the basics. The basic love for one another. The Bible says, God says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Basic. And I'm going to bring it simple in that. If I take that off the table and give you one more simple, simpler, if you don't, you know, haven't seen in it, you know, or read a lot or whatever. This is one simple. If everybody would treat everybody the way that they wanted to be treated, I believe there won't even be a need for 10 o'clock news. So you see, people don't care about people. They only care about themselves. You know, the natural affection a father is supposed to have for his daughter. And you know the natural affection is gone anytime a man can have sex with his own daughter, which is incest. Natural affection. They say mankind is going to live without natural affection. And sexual perversion is such a high, at an all-time high, you couldn't even imagine all of the sexual things that people are doing with animals, with objects, and just so much. We're going to be without just a natural affection. Not we, but them, hopefully. You see, they're going to be truth breakers, telling lies. Right now in the world, if you look at CNN, NSBC, however it's pronounced, you will see people, grown men, educated men, elderly men that have been living on earth long enough to know the difference, stand up and tell you a bald-faced lie to your face on national TV and don't give a hoot about it. And they do it over and over and over again. And if they get called on it, they're going to try to come up with a scenario to make you think what you thought is wrong and what they're saying is right. Tell me if this ain't some of the description of the last days of mankind. Nature. They're going to be false accusers. They just accuse somebody just to hear themselves talk. No more right than a man in the moon. They're going to be traitors. We got that all the time. Look at all of the ones went to jail for the affairs with Germany and China and all. They're just doing whatever they want. And they're high-minded. And love is a pleasure more than love is a God. And you might ask the question, why is it so tempting to love pleasure rather than God? You see, pleasure is something we can control. But we can't control God. These characteristics is all about one thing, self. All of them that I gave you in verse 3 is all about self. Men are traitors because of self. They are headstrong, self. They are naughty, nasty, liars, truth breakers. No natural affection. Hallelujah. High-minded. Despisers of those that are good. Characteristics of mankind in the last days. And number 5, they having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such turn away. And when they say from such turn away, they're saying from these kind of people turn away. You see, having a form of godliness. Oh, I go to church on Sunday. What about your heart? I pay tithes once a month. What about your heart? Oh, I volunteer for pastor's anniversary. That's church work. What about the work of the church? Have you shared the word of God? Are you letting God allow the Holy Spirit to change your inside? Are you asking that your heart be circumcised, that anything that's in it that's not of God be taken away? Are you trying to grow in grace? Are you seeking more knowledge of God? They say turn away from these kind of people because, you see, this is what happened to a plenty Christian. They might not be this person, but they may be around these type of people so much till they'll sit down and look at the same TV stations together. You know, there's a scripture. Y'all know when we was coming up, your mama told you they didn't want you with that boy or girl. And you could never understand because you say, long as I'm not doing it, it doesn't matter. But in some cases, you will be with the person so much and some of the actions that they did, you might be with them sometime and you get caught up. So your parents was trying to warn you. And then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And I'm a living witness for that. Because many of the things that I shouldn't have been doing is never that, it was never anything. And I'm not saying I was so good. I'm just telling you the truth. It wasn't things that I came up with myself. Corrupt company evil company corrupt good habits. So he said, be careful. And then plenty of things that people do, and you know, may all be with them. You might not be strong enough to withstand some of those things. So you would probably give in. And verse 6 says, for this thought are they which creep into houses and led captivity silly women laden with sin, led away with divers of lust. Divers mean many. And Numbers verse 7 say, ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. What Paul was telling Timothy, which was a young pastor, so when you're reading your Bible, you got to know who he's writing to so you can make some of this stuff make sense. I told you earlier, Paul was trying to tell 2 Timothy, and he was trying to give the new generations of pastors that was going to come up. Let me tell you something about people. He said, and he talked about which creep into houses and led captive silly ladens. What he was saying was, in those days, women weren't even in the church of Ephesus allowed to practice in Bible study. So they had plenty of info. They might have a little information here, a little information of that, but they just wasn't strong in the word. So what would happen when the people come, they would target them to lead them astray first. The women, they call them gullible. And you even got to look at how Satan do. Satan always try to attack the weaker vessel. Satan believed that the woman is the weaker vessel. That's why in the Garden of Eden, he went to Eve and not Adam. And you see, Satan has no new tricks. So Satan can only do what he did before, and he's definitely hunting women because he thinks we're gullible and vulnerable and weaker. So he said, Timmy, watch out for them women because these men going to try to come in. You see, they are gullible women, and, you know, they will believe or pay attention to most anything if it's packaged right. There is one effective way to know that if you are captive with any of these characteristics that I'm talking about on tonight. Try to walk away from any of these worldly influence and see if there are chains that make your escape difficult. The problem is, since it's a man heart and everybody's, most people are selfish, they believe that what they're doing is right. Come on, y'all. There ain't nobody looking for a change when they figure they got the solution, they got the answer, and they got the question. You got to realize that something ain't right. You have to be taught that that's not the way. And you live all your life really miserable. Because you think you're in control of everything, and when it's all said and done, you realize you haven't controlled nothing. Absolutely nothing. You make up all those rules and then regulations, and you almost kill yourself trying to make sure, I got to do it this way. And this is what I come up with. Well, all that was in your head was junk in your trunk. And reading and studying and learning, you can maybe get it out your trunk to not be old. And see that it didn't have that much value. You would live and die for what you believe, how you had to do it. And at the end of the day, it values nothing. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. God has given us his Bible, 66 books, which is our moral compass for our daily living. And then we don't want to study the Bible. And plenty of times, he's talking about this, how people are going to be in these last days. They got a little bit from here and a little bit from that. They heard this one say something and this one say something, and now they think they done arrived and they holy. So now they got a distorted thing in their mind of God. They don't have the truth of God. And when this happened, the scripture number 7 say they will be ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth. Because you can't take bits and pats and pieces and chips and say you know God. You got to learn God for yourself, the fullness of God. And it didn't don't happen in a day. But I know some people been on the battlefield for 50, 60, and 70 years. And they don't really understand and know God. They're not willing to take and put in a time. And I tell everybody, how fast and how far you go depends on you. And I ain't trying to discourage, because where you are is where you are. But if you want to be somewhere different, that depends on you. You accepted Christ and he's your Savior. Yes, you're going to be saved. But will you experience the fullness of all that he has to offer and all that he wants for you? Because our lesson tonight is talking about the last days. And the volume is being pumped up. And you think it's hard now, it's going to be harder. So you got to get up and put on the armor of God. And you got to know for yourself. It's going to be time out when you don't know for yourself. When something going wrong in the middle of the night, you're not going to be able to call on the name of the God of God and say, though they slay me, yet I serve you. Hallelujah. You're not going to be able to say it because you don't know it. And I'm not saying that's a phrase you have to say, but you need to have some phrases and some scripture for yourself. The time is coming, y'all. Jesus is coming back. And he said the world is not going to get any better anytime soon. Seeing the criminals and the selfish people and the disobedient people and the people that disregard God is going to come up with new things. They come up with new things every day. So the new things that they come up with, we don't know how it's going to affect us individually. So you got to be ready. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And criminals is always deciding another way to get you. And it's, they don't even think about that as getting you, but it's getting what they want. Come on, y'all. We live in a selfish world full of selfish people. And selfish people want what selfish people want. And they're going to get it at any means necessary. That's our lesson for tonight. And I have some of the buttons pressed. So I'm going to call in. Your number is 504-810-27. Your mic is open. Maybe it was pressed by mistake. Caller 81027. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 61519. Your mic is open. Maybe it was pressed by mistake, but at this
point. No. Hey, sister.
Yes.
Hey, darling.
Yes.
How you doing? Yeah, I'm blessed. God is good. I didn't intend to press the number, but I did want to say something. That's fine. It's time.
Yes.
Okay.
I was listening. I listened to your whole dissertation,
and I enjoyed it. And I heard you talking about theologians and time and end time and all that stuff. And I was thinking about with time, how God in Jeremiah 31 and 34, when God says that he's going to start it, in other words, he's going to usher in a new covenant. So time as they knew it ended and a new time began. And that new time was with the resurrection of Jesus. And because in the old time, they had God with them. In this dispensation of time, you have God in you. So I think that I think as a people, as people, that we have to look at what God is trying to do through us now. And I think that we have to focus on making ourselves better so that we can glorify God, as you say. Because, you know, I like how you say is that people have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, meaning that people, because they don't know who they are in God, they're not maximizing their potential in God, so the kingdom suffered. You know how I said the kingdom suffered, violence, the body taken by force. So I think as we step up and become more kingdom-minded and more focused on who we are in God, then I think that, you know, this is the only way we're going to see change. Because like you say, we see the evidence of people that call themselves Christian, evangelicals, and all this stuff, how, you know, that it's divided by politics and not by spirituality. And I think that's a problem in God, in my opinion.
Yes, it is.
Secondly, I would like to say something. When you talked about the land Israel in the year 1948, and when we talk about Israel, we're not really talking about a partial land. We're talking about a people. And we're talking about a people. We talk about, you know, Israel, as we both know, was a person. And that person had 12 sons, which represents the 12 tribes, which God says is going to be spread around the earth. So I think when God talks about coming back for Israel, he's coming back for the people of the promise more than a partial land, because it's evident. I've been to Israel in 2007. We couldn't all fit there, and it couldn't even sustain us because it's a desolate land. So I think that from that perspective, like looking at the 12 tribes and the 144, you know, all that stuff. And I think when they talk about Israel, I think that's what the Bible speaks of, because the people that and this is my opinion now, the people that possess the land now is anti-God. They're not godly. Thus we see the annihilation of innocent women, children, and people just trying to live. And we have to remember how they was put there. They was put there through war. So that just my take, when as I started studying a little bit on that, on Israel and all that, is more about a people and God's people than a land, because, you know, just like the Bible say that heaven and earth may fade away, but the word of God will stand forever. So, you know, it's like, it's more our connectivity and spiritual and our spirituality with God, I think, than more of a place. That's just my opinion. Now, it could be misinterpreting, but I'm going to stop there. But I definitely want to thank you for your lesson and for your dedication and commitment. God bless you. And I'm going to shut up and let other people chime in. God bless.
Thank you, my brother, so much. And when you talked about the covenant, you know, after Jesus resurrected from the grave, and that covenant was of grace because we had no longer was under the law. But when you talked about he's coming back for his promised people, you see, that's all of us, because he chose Israel as a promised people, you know, but then we were engrafted in. So we have the same privileges. And when God talking about his people, it's not just the Israelites, but it's all the people. And we were grafted in and we became heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. So Jesus say he's coming back for his bride, the church. And just like you saying about Israel, not the land, but the people, when he said the church, he's not talking about the church building. He talking about the people. So that's really good for bringing that up, my brother. And I thank you so much. When Jesus says he's coming back for the church, he's not coming back for 2315 Desire Street. He's coming back for his people, because he say all his people who accepted him becomes his bride, and he's the bridegroom. And then they're going to have a big, great marriage feast of the Lamb. Hallelujah. It's going to be a whole happy day. So thank you, my brother.
Amen. Blessings. Thank you for hearing me, sister.
All righty. Any more comments? Any questions? Any concerns? Any thoughts about this? Y'all think we in, anybody think we in the last days? Anybody could identify some of these characteristics with people they know? I guess we can't do that. I tried to keep it very generic, because everybody know what they know. So is there any no comments at all tonight, other than my brother? And I sure do thank you guys. So at this time, we're going to have a benediction and close out for tonight. So I'm going to say, may the Lord watch between thee and me while we absent one from another. And it is my desire that all of us be blessed until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. And with that being said, I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Good night.